Welcome to Kim Upper. Jared and Robbie are here very briefly because Robbie's got to go. We've been recording for like an hour already. Yeah. So don't worry, there are other episodes. There'll be plenty of Kim Upper coming at you in the short period of time. But we did want to talk a little bit about Shreyas Iyer. Robbie, before the podcast, said, oh, yeah, I predicted this 2 years ago. So, Robbie, just tell us what you predicted.
I was calling for it 2 years ago.
Is that what you said before? You said predicted. But...
No, I said I called this 2 years ago. I'm very aware of what I say around you, dude.
Okay, so what did you see 2 years ago and what has happened now?
Well, I think he's doubled down who he is as a player. I think as a captain, he's a really, really, really clever captain. He's very astute. He's got all the ingredients of what you need a captain to be. He takes the bull by its horns. He's always positive. He's very proactive. He's got a great sense of self-belief that kind of permeates through to the other players as well. So from that point of view, he's a pretty good kind of captain to have, and like a personality to have as captain. Couple that with his batting prowesses, especially against spin in the middle order, he can be dynamite for India. And I was perplexed as to how he wasn't even a part of the setup, in the Indian team over the last few years. Now finds himself back in the reckoning as captain again. Because the selectors have a clear plan, pathway for the next couple of years. Yes, it's a little hard on Surya, but his non-performance didn't do any favors for him in the selection process, and his lack of form in the IPL also didn't do him any favors. But he's taking it like a champ. It's typical Surya. But this man has been a long time coming, right? For Shreyas.
Yeah, I think that. It's fascinating. There was a period of time when he probably wasn't, when he was sort of still in development. And there was a lot of those years when it maybe took him a little bit longer to come around to the whole, smashing the ball around element that everyone else did, right? And then that KKR, the year that he leaves KKR, I think a lot of people, we've done a whole podcast on this, how people basically remember it wrongly. They're like, how could you let Shreyas go? And it's like, well, actually, he was starting to show signs that he was going to become this player. But I would say at that stage when he was with KKR, he showed incredible captaincy, but his batting was just starting to get to the level that we're seeing now. And why I respect him the most is because he really has, over a short period of time, kind of completely changed as a batter, right? And
he has.
Maybe that took a little bit longer for the selectors to trust. Is maybe the best way of putting it, but you look at what he's done over the last little bit of time. So first, it's the short ball stuff, right? It's actually pretty common for younger players to come in and sometimes struggle with the shorter ball, not just from the subcontinent, but all around the world. Partly because when you're younger, you don't face as many good short balls, and sometimes you come in and you're just not set up for them in the way that you should be. It's probably one big advantage for Australian players is that Australian players from the age of 12 or 13 are playing senior cricket, so they're getting bounced when they're 13. That doesn't happen in the rest of the world as much, and so you're not as used to it. But it
happens in South Africa as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, but also the pitches help too. It's hard not to bowl short. I played in Australia on synthetic wickets that had concrete underneath, right? Anyone who could bowl slow, medium pace could bowl you a short ball. So you either got used to them or you stopped playing cricket. Like there wasn't really, that isn't the case for everyone, right? So I do think that is a thing. But the fact that he's gone from not being very good against the short ball to really almost making it a strength of his, I think is fantastic.
It is. I think he's worked a lot on it. I think one of the things that even he said is that he never believed he had a problem with the short ball, although he was getting out to it. It was a weakness for sure at a particular point in time, but he took notice of it when people started saying that he's a bunny to the short ball and he'll never improve on it. And I think that kind of got his antennas up and got him to get to work, which is great. And he's like, I want to prove people wrong. And people use different things for motivation. And he addressed it. And I think it was a mindset shift as well. Like initially, he tried to take singles to a short ball, to a bouncer. But after a point, he started saying, hey, instead of getting singles, let me be aggressive about it. And let me look to score. And when you go with that positive mindset, your body gets into better positions as a batter. In prep to play a short ball, your body starts getting in better positions. You get into taller positions, which is where you want to be to play the pull shot. You want to be as tall as possible, as big a target as possible. A lot of batters become slow and they become small and they try and play the pull shot. No control over it. But he gets tall now. He gets on his toes and he hits the pull shot, which he's put in that kind of work. And I know he's put in that kind of work because, you know, he worked with the same coach that I did. So there's a particular way in which we work the short ball out. And it's a lot of fun. That drill is amazing, actually.
Well, what's the drill?
It's wet rubber balls on tarpaulin covers.
They
cover the pitches with?
Yeah. You mean like the actual plastic?
The plastic. Yeah. You put water on that, and you put about 20 rubber balls into a bucket of water, and you throw that. And then you start with leaving the ball well. You leave. And then you start defending the ball. And then you start trying to create time. So you're trying to get back in the crease so that you create time. You create a little bit of time by virtue of moving so that you allow the ball, you get a little bit more distance from the ball so you can defend the ball well. And then you progress to kind of capturing, slowing the ball down in your mind to get back and prepare your hands to play the pull shot. So you get back, pull, and you leave. You get to the pull and then you leave. So you're getting tall, but you're actually leaving the ball. You're getting tall and you're leaving the ball. And then from there, you start tapping the ball down. Just get the bat on the ball, And then you start playing the pull shot towards square leg. And then you start playing the pull shot towards mid-wicket. And then you start hitting the ball over mid-wicket for six. And then you have variations. You have the ramp. And then you make it even more challenging. You play with a middling bat. And that is a lot of fun, dude. If you can get to that place.
You're not going to talk about middling about again. So the short ball, I think, is interesting. But the other thing is that he's had 11 years of professional cricket in T20s, right?
And is that IPL as well?
Yeah. So I'm going back to the start when he first started playing
in the IPL
cricket, but mostly 2015. Is that his first year in the IPL?
That's when I first played against him in first class cricket.
Let me just double check that. But if you go back through his full record in the IPL 2015, 2015. So that was his first year. So I'm looking at it from the start of that. He had a positive impact his first year. Right. And I'm talking about impact metrics here, you know, that Jimenez has come up with. He only has one other positive impact in his first, I think it's 8 years. Right. So every other time he's not really changing the game all that much. Sometimes he's around par. So it's not like he's a huge negative, but he's not doing that. 2023, he's worth 3.7 runs per innings. 2024 is 3.4 runs. 2025, that goes up to 5 runs and it's back at 3.6. So that's not just has he managed to be a positive, but he's been an incredibly consistent positive for quite a while now, right? That looks like a new normal, whereas he had a bunch of years before, the 4 years before, he was all at about par. So he's basically gone from just holding water as a T20 player to completely being one of the best players in the world. And he's done both of them consistently. So we know that this is a pattern and not just a one-off or a couple.
So you know that he stepped up then. He's taken his game to the next
level.
That's
maturity, right? That's professionalism.
Yeah, and I think he's done it despite the system. That's one of the most impressive things of Shreyas Iyer. He's not a people pleaser. You read his interview after... Did you read his interview after he got selected?
Yeah.
As captain. He says, and I quote... he says, "I don't have to change my personality," Shreyas said in Mumbai in his first public reaction to the announcement or appointment. "I have to be the same person I was before and not try to be someone else or be under someone's shadow."
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible now. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN. Very clear. I mean, that's the way
But that's Shreyas Iyer for you. And that's what I absolutely love about him.
He is a natural leader, right? Like, I, you know, forget captaincy and everything else. He is someone who without getting too cliched, but I'm about to be the most cliched, he does march to his own drum and he's got to where he's gotten to, right?
By virtue of doing that. And that's what I love about him, which is why I'm like, he makes such a great captain, because he's like, he goes against the grain of people in India, left, right and center. He can be aggravatingly annoying, right? Because he doesn't fit the norms of an Indian cricketer. He does his own thing. He says, pick me if you want to pick me, right? I'll just keep doing what I do. Right. And every time I've interacted with him, that's how he's operated as well. He speaks like that. And he's built this persona out of himself into what he is. And there's an immense kind of self-belief which you see in some of the best players in the world. You see that with Virat, you see that with Rohit. It's a very similar self-belief. And you know that he's got all the ingredients and the scruples to be an incredible leader. And he's shown that in the IPL, hasn't he? Not just as a captain calling the shots. Like, one decision that blew my mind this year was Shashank Singh bowling against Josh, Inglis, was it, with he was bowling against?
When he came on and bowled the medium paces.
He got 3 wickets. That call as a leader, like, that is proactive captaincy, dude. Like, you don't see that very often. And then taking the ownership when the stakes are the highest as a captain, as a batter, right? Like, there's an interview where Braden Haddon talks about how they lost the qualifier and got out 100, I think. And then the second qualifier, he said, no, I will bat. I want to bat second, because the whole coaching staff was saying, we want to bat first. And he's like, sorry, we will bat second. And I'm telling you, I will win the match for you. And he got 100 or something, 101 in that game, chasing 197. And they won the game. And all the ingredients that you need from a great captain who can stand up and do stuff, the aura is quite different.
High level of aura.
High.
Vibes to the max. We've got our vibes index here, and he's very high.
Do we have a vibe index?
We don't have a vibe.
Thank God.
Of all the things Byron would like to make, I'm sure a vibes index would be right at the top of his list if we could work out how to do it.
You need to have vibes for that.
Well, we just rename it after it. But okay,
the Byron index.
I think
or the not so Byron
good.
Index.
Yeah. I think that there is an element of tactically, he's quite interesting. Having Gautam Gambhir as the coach and having Shreyas Iyer as the captain is another interesting thing, twofold. One, how they interact, but separately, there's no longer a diplomatic person to talk to the media.
Who was a diplomatic one?
McGill's quite diplomatic, right? Even Virat Kohli in his own way and Rohit Sharma, like, they're not, you know, they can get upset at certain things, but they know the game. They know exactly what they're doing when they say things. Whereas Gautam Gambhir does not have that gear, right? That's
got it.
Yeah, love him or hate him, he just doesn't have that gear. Like, he just says what he says. And, you know, I always admire Shane Watson. Shane Watson never walked past the microphone knowingly in his life. But to be fair, when he said things, he really meant them. It was quite clear that he meant the thing that he said, which is not always the case. So you have to respect that.
Yeah.
You've now got two people that have that. And then you have two people who are incredibly sure in their ways, who are going to be coming together. I think that's a fascinating combination.
It is a very fascinating combination. And obviously, this is them after coming together and working together to win the IPL for India, for KKR, right? So you know the dynamic works.
Yeah.
But interesting what he said about, you know, not being under someone's shadow. We don't know what he was
doing. Whose shadow? Could have been anyone.
It could be Jared's shadow for all.
Yeah, Ajinkya Rahane's shadow. We don't know, everyone. We don't know which shadow we're talking about here.
Yeah,
it did felt like a shot across the bow of, I'm not going to change, and so you're going to have to accept me, which again is fine. Like, I've got no issue with that. Graham Smith back in the days when he took over South Africa was very similar. He's just like, I understand South African cricket's really important, but I'm not going to be any different than I normally am here.
Yeah, which is great, right? And I think you want, like, if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to lead your country and you want to be the best leader that you can be, and if that means you taking a stance and leading by your own terms, absolutely do it. Go for it. And that's how it should be done, according to me.
Okay. So the next question is this the correct decision? Is it the correct time? They are the reigning World Cup champions at this point. How do you feel about it from that perspective?
I think it's the right time. I think for Sky, it feels unfortunate because he did really well as a captain, one of the most successful Indian captains to have won a World Cup. I think his win percentage is about 80 or something, if I'm not wrong. 80% win percentage, so incredibly good from that point of view. Unfortunately, because of his batting, his dip in his batting form, he ended up losing that because the bad form was for a couple of years, wasn't it? And I don't think the IPL also augured any confidence in the selectors as well. So 2 years gives both Gautam Gambhir and Shreyas Iyer to kind of work their chinks out a little bit, iron out any issues that they have and prep players for the big stage that comes up in 2 years, both the LA Olympics and the T20 World Cup. So I think it's the right kind of runway that he has as a young captain. And one can only hope that Indian cricket doesn't go crazy and change captains in between all of this again.
Yeah, I think that is a very important thing. Like we can't be in a situation where this happens a lot, right? Like this has to be
a one-off thing.
Yeah, very, very clear that there's a reason we did it. This player had lost form. We're not sure if he's going to be around. And we also have this incredible side coming through. So we can make this change now. What we don't want is for Shreyas to come in, have bad form at the international level for a year, and then do that. Because then you become Pakistan, right? Like, as long as they know why they're doing it, I'm okay. I also like the fact that they're giving themselves plenty of time. You know, it's not as if that isn't the case. I don't think Sky's form, when you factor in international cricket, has been as bad as perhaps people maybe think it has been.
And we've been saying this, right? Even before the World Cup, we said it never seems like he's out of form. It just feels like he's out of runs. And that can happen to cricketers. Oftentimes, we don't take kindly to it, but it happens. You feel like you're hitting the ball exceptionally well, but just you can't get a run off your bat. And you feel like, what do I do now? You know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I think that's the best time to just take a break from the game and say, listen, it's not working. Don't fight it. Just take a break. Come back. Maybe something will click when you come back after a break.
So this year in all T20s, he averaged 31 with a strike rate of 156.
Mm.
Like that is down for him, but that's because he was having years where he was averaging 45 with 175. If you look at his impact, it's noticeable. So his best year in 2022, Robbie, he was worth 9.5 runs in innings plus, which is that. So I think Bhuvi, I don't know what Bhuvi's final numbers were this year, but Bhuvi was going at about 12 runs per innings, which is one of the best years we've ever seen. So it does tell you how good he has been. But he's still, even in 2026 with the bad form for Mumbai, he's actually been okay. This is not a situation where he's completely dropped off the map. So again, I would say two things. I would say he is older, so you want to make a decision whether you want to move on from him, but trust him if he gets back into form would be my point. If he suddenly starts to spray runs everywhere again, don't sit back and go, there's no point bringing him in. Because I don't think we've seen many players in hit. Like we've seen a lot of openers do what Sky has done before. We haven't seen many guys at number three and number four have that their kind of impact that he's had. And I think that you'd be silly to just get rid of him completely. Also, there is an element of you have to think about where the next World Cup is going to be played.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be played in South Africa. Isn't South Africa?
Australia.
No, Australia. Australia, right? I don't think
South Africa really is the ODI World Cup.
World Cup, yeah. I don't think he did really well in the T20 World Cup in 22. Surya didn't do really well, I think, in Australia.
I remember, I thought he played one or two innings, but maybe it was when, I can't remember who it was up against though. But yeah, I mean, they didn't have a great tournament, right? They played okay, but they weren't, spectacular in that tournament. So yeah, I think that's probably fair as well. But I just think I think that's worth looking at. We don't know exactly how, there's a lot of guys we don't know as much about. Does that make sense?
Mm.
Whereas with him, we do actually know a lot more about him as a player.
Well, 2 years is a long enough runway, yeah. And he's also, the unfortunate thing is, according to international cricket and Indian cricket, age isn't on his side. I think he's 36. But what you can know for sure is that from Surya's point of view, you know for sure that for all intents and purposes, he might go to KKR. because it rekindles the, once Gautam Gambhir finishes his stint at the Indian team, I think he goes back into KKR as a mentor, coach, whatever role they decide. Yep. And then Sky fits into that as captain and mentor again. So I think Sky plays till he's 40. Goes on, yeah. Unless he's marred by terrible form and the Midas touch is just over.
His body falls apart. Just look at, so yeah. This is him in 2022. It's actually really fascinating. So he fails against Pakistan. He makes 51 not out against the Netherlands. Fine. He makes 68 of 40 against South Africa. 30 of 18 against Bangladesh. 61 of 25 against Zimbabwe. And then 14 of 10. So outside of the South Africa one, the majority of the runs come from other side, from polar attacks, which is not the end of the world. Like, these things happen. No. But his overall numbers look pretty good. Again, I don't think there's anything in his technique that tells me he shouldn't be very good in Australia. So no. I'm not saying he needs to be picked or anything, but what I would be thinking is, we know how good he can be. We know he has made runs in Australia. Let's just keep an eye on him. And so we can go back. Because there's a couple of guys, like, I've heard a lot of people say we need Shreyas Iyer.
See, the thing is, it's going to be very hard because I don't think they're going to give him A cricket, right? So there aren't places where they can test him out, because at 36, he's not going to get A cricket. At 34, 35, 36, whatever his age is at this point, he's not going to get test cricket. He's not going to get India A cricket, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So where is he going to get the exposure to go and play in those wickets?
But I've heard a lot of people talk about Pattadhar and Shreyas Iyer being in the middle order. I think they're both fantastic players. But Australia is different conditions. And you just have to keep that in mind. Yeah. So you just have to wait to see. It might be fine, but you don't want to get rid of someone who can do the job in a World Cup that you might need them. I don't think it matters as much for the Olympics, although we have no idea.
And watch this. I'm calling this now. India's going to travel a lot more to Australia in the next couple of years. Just for T20 cricket.
It's lovely there.
It is.
Oh, I thought you meant for holidays.
No. Bye, Jared.
That is it for Kim Apa today. Thank you very much for everyone waiting. We know we pushed it back. It's just because we had to do them in the other order. But me and Robbie will be back. He's going to America to do Major League Cricket, and he's got nothing to do in his hotel room. And he's already started bugging me for podcast topics. So there will be countless amounts of Kim Apa. I can't even say countless or amounts, but if I could, there would be lots of it. We will see you again very, very soon. Like, subscribe, do all those things. And remember, Robbie called it. Thank you for listening to this podcast on the Combox Network. There is an ad-free version of this you can find by supporting us on Patreon at Good Areas Podcast. You can also access our Discord channel there. Please like, subscribe, and rate this show. Every one of these helps us. If there was a guest on a show, you can find their links in the show notes. Huge thanks to Rakshit, Ishit, and everyone else who helps us get our content out there. If you want to know more about us, head to combox.tv.
If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.